I want you to turn your Bibles to Song of Solomon and turn to chapter 4. I heard Mike Bickle teach about the Song of Solomon. What I'm going to share about is opening your well with worship. And I want to just give to you some of the keys that the Lord has taught me about worship. Because the end time battle is going to be about worship. Say, the end time battle is going to be about worship. Because when Satan, the original battle was that Satan wanted to be worshiped. And in the end days, I tell you this, it is not about finances. The finances is so that he can control the people, that the people will worship him, the beast. And what is so fascinating as we get into the Word of God tonight, that Jesus asked the woman at the well, who was a fornicator. She was from Samaria. And when he goes on in chapter 4, he said, the Father seeketh the worshipers. And that word worship is the Greek form of proskuneos. And in the end days, when you read the book of Revelation, every place where it says that they got the mark of the beast, it says, and they worshiped the beast. And that word worship in the Bible, proskuneos, proskuneos. Pros is bow down. Bow down. And whenever we bow down, that is the ultimate form of submission. And kuneos means to kiss. So proskuneos is to bow down, to kiss. It means to reverence and to adore. And only that form of worship was given to the Lord. And that's why the first of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt have no other idols before the Lord, and you shall not bow down to those idols. So I want to tell you, I've already taught the children in Children's Church. I taught them about the Ten Commandments, and I said, we are not to bow down to anyone but Jesus, because that makes the Father very angry. And so worship is so powerful that when Micaiah was doing that dance and about the cloud of glory, when you worship, a glory cloud envelops you. And in that Psalm 91, verse 1, where it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow, the cloud of the Almighty. And then the rest of the verse about protection is that you're in a place, you're in the cloud, where you are hidden by the Lord. I'm telling you, worship is not just something that we do to try to feel the presence of God. Or just, you know, something that's just, you know, well, we worship a few songs and then we do the teaching and then we go. I mean, you know, worship is what we're created to do. And what's so awesome is that our body is made of 75% water. Our brain is 85% water. So when it says in the book of Numbers, spring up a well, he's not kidding. So if you turn your Bible to again to Song of Solomon 4. And I'm just going to skip over to verse 12. And it says that you are a garden locked up, my sister, my bride. You are a spring enclosed, a sealed fountain. Say, I am a spring enclosed and a sealed fountain. Now skip down to verse 15, and it says, and say this after me, I am a garden fountain, a well of flowing water streaming down from Lebanon. Do you know what's so interesting about that? Is that when Jesus, when that was written, they used to have public water places. And in those public water places, the animals would come drink and they would come do other things in the water. And the people would wash their clothes and they just did everything. It was a public well. And at that public well, the water could become polluted. But God says, don't let your well be polluted. You are a garden, a sealed well. You should not let things pollute your well. And since we're talking about living waters for this weekend and about being a well, I wanted to share some of these things with you. And one of the different things that can pollute the well would be bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, hatred, anger, fear, criticalness, judgments. All those things start polluting our well. But and then there's other things. I mean, things that we could look at in our eyes that would be unclean, not pure. And I remember listening to the book from Chu Thomas, and she talked about, she's got a book that's called Heaven is So Real, and she was a Korean American that went both to heaven and to hell. And the Lord told her, unless your heart is as pure as water, that you would not enter the kingdom of God. We can have a polluted well, but you don't have to. And I want to tell you what the Lord showed me. He said we're a fountain. And guess what makes a fountain? It's air. It's breath that makes a fountain. It starts bubbling up. You just add that breath of God that He's given us. And that breath, which is the Ruach breath of the Holy Spirit, and we just release it and we stir it up. We're to stir up worship within us. I wish that we could walk around all the time, you know, in the presence of God. But when we can't, when we're not experiencing that, we are to stir up that well. And when we release our voice, just like water that's still, it starts bubbling up, and we are to be a bubbling brook, and a fountain of living waters are to flow through us. Say, fountains of living waters can be released through me when I am stirring it up. I'm telling you that that verse in Ephesians 5:18 that says, be filled with the Spirit of God by singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. As you're doing that, what are you releasing? You're releasing worship and you're releasing your voice, and you are activating the well of God that's in you, and you're producing a fountain of life. You're releasing a well of life. You're releasing the living waters. And no waters, there's no life. That's why it says in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 1, where it talks about, as Pam has a picture here, if this was the throne of God, rivers of living waters are flowing out from underneath the throne. And then it talks about the trees that are planted on either side, and that the nations would eat of the leaves. All societies have to have water. We can go 40 days without food, only 7 days without water, and about 3 or 4 minutes without oxygen. Water is vital to life. And we are called to release that fountain of life. Now, why is it so important that we become a fountain? Is we're living. I want you to picture this visual. If I am a fountain right now, and I'm just releasing that joy, and just imagine a fountain of pure water just... Then there's some mud that tries to come my way. There's some like slander, you know, or some judgment, whatever. Do you think that's going to touch me? I'm a fountain of living waters flowing out of me. That darkness cannot touch me in Jesus' name. There's a fountain of living waters that's flowing up through me. Isn't that amazing? David was a worshiper. And I want to give you a key that the Lord taught me. And that key was that worship in him, because there was both Saul and David. They both had weaknesses, but one got disqualified, which was Saul. And that was because he was always was looking at his weaknesses. He was self, always looking at himself. What about me? But David, because he worshiped God, he kept his eyes on God and he became like God. We become, in 2 Corinthians 3, 18, whatever we behold, as we behold him, we transformed into his same image from glory to glory. David had the key of intimacy in his life with the Lord. And that unlocked so many doors. Abraham had the key of intimacy and relationship with the Lord. God created us for family. And he wants worship that comes from a heart that loves him. There's a verse in Hebrews that says that their worship was vain because their hearts were so far from me. And if our heart, if you feel like your heart isn't close to God, what you do is you start stirring it up. You stir it up. You stir it up. You stir it up. Because I'm telling you, when you start thinking thoughts of love towards somebody, and like say you don't have any thoughts of love towards him, and actually you could really be really irritated at him. So what you don't want to do is kind of rehearse. You want to get out of that cycle, because see, the word of God says love never fails. So if you will exercise the unconditional love, it'll break that cycle. And so as you start thinking thoughts of love, oh, I just love them. I love. I'm telling you the truth. The love, the feelings of love will follow your actions, will follow your thoughts, will follow your words. Feelings are fickle. And you can't live by your feelings. Feelings are fickle. Feelings are fickle. Feelings are fickle. So if you start exercising the gift that God has given you by saying over and over and over, Lord, I love them. I bless them. I forgive them. I release them. I love them. I bless them. I forgive them. I release them. I love them. I bless them. I forgive them. I release them. Because you know what God said in His Word? He said, we're to love our enemies. I mean, I'm telling you, He didn't just say we're to like them. He didn't just say I'm to tolerate them. He didn't just say, well, you know, look, whatever. He said that we are to love our enemies, and our enemies is just someone that we are at odds with. That we are to love them unconditionally. So the same thing, we can stir up feelings of love for God. And one of my favorite things to do would be to sit in a chair or in the floor and just think, God, I love you. I love you, God. Why don't you just practice right now? God, I love you. God, I love you. I love you, God. I love you. God, I love you. I love you. I love you, God. I love you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. And those feelings will start coming. When you go into worship, when we worship the Lord, I want to tell you, it is an absolute gift to be able to go to church and to worship the Lord corporately. I mean, it's such a gift to have freedom because I came out of religion. You know, and you can remember those times where you're sitting there in church thinking about what you're going to eat for lunch afterwards, you know, what you're going to do the rest of the day. So, but the way we worship together, I want to encourage you to start practicing it at home. And when you come into worship, first of all, we got to spend time in the Word and just getting to know God. Because you can't worship someone you don't know. So ask Him to reveal Himself to you. Because if you were to meet the Lord in person, say if He was here right now, you would say He's the most compassionate, kindness, gentleness, loving, gracious, forgiving persons that you can ever imagine. And Mike Bickle shares that we're to, when we go into worship, picture Jesus. I remember Michael Forrester taught me that he said, Sharon, I just picture myself just looking right into His face, right looking into His eyes. Sometimes when I lay on the floor, I just picture myself at His feet, wanting just to touch any part of Him. And then when you go into worship, start thinking about the things that He saved you from and the things that He's done for you. I start stirring it up. And then that time of worship, it's a consecrated time where you say, no, I'm not going to think about work. I'm not going to think about the cares, the bills, the family, the husband, the children. This is just my time. This is just my time to totally fix my thoughts in worship on You, Lord. You're consecrating that little bit of time to Him. Turn your Bible over to John chapter 4. And we're going to talk about the woman at the well. What was so funny is that Pastor LaRue, I was sitting there and he's like, man, he started teaching about worship in John chapter 4. That was the first time I heard him teaching about worship. And was what the Lord had given me for the conference. I thought, oh, glory be. He's going to teach my whole thing. But it's amazing how God can speak to different people about the same subject at the same time because it's part of what he's doing. Now, there's a couple things I want to point out about John chapter 4. One is I just love God because he's totally out of the box. He's totally just so gracious. And he picks a fornicator to reveal one of the greatest truths about worship too. Because see, the woman at the well, she was just worshiping the wrong thing. And God just, he just turned it. I believe he still saw her heart. And he revealed worship to a, what was, Samaritans were mixed. So the Jews didn't like them. They weren't just 100% Jews. So they could be mixed Jew-Gentile. So the Lord revealed worship, true worship, the end time worship to a, like a Gentile, like us. What he's looking for. And the first thing that Jesus says to her, one of the very first things is when he, in verse 7, John 4, verse 7, it says, when the Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, listen to this, will you give me a drink? Now I'm telling you, that is not just a natural drink. He goes on, later we're going to see about worship. The Lord is saying to you today, will you give me a drink? Through our worship. How many things can we give God? I mean, if you think about it. Can you imagine for his birthday? Oh my goodness. Talk about the man that has everything. But I'm telling you, your worship, no one else can give him the worship that you can give him. And the worship that you have, nobody else can give that. And in fact, after listening to all these testimonies about heaven and hell, both sides, one of the things that they said about heaven was that when we're in heaven, we have times with the Father where he makes us feel like we are the only child. He has the capability to do that. That's how incredible God is. I mean, he's just totally beyond our natural realm of thinking. The unlimited thinking. So out of all the things that you could give God, he asks us for obedience. And he asks us to love him. And when we do those two things, we're worshiping him. So you go on in this story. She says in verse 9, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. I mean, they didn't talk to women back then anyways. I mean, they were like dogs. And he said, how can you ask me for a drink? And Jesus answered her, verse 10, if you knew the gift of God, who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you what? Living water. And then he went on to say in verse 13, Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water. Say, a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Hold your place there and turn over to John 7, 37. We'll tie it all together. On the last and greatest day of the feast, and this is the Feast of Tabernacles, and on this particular feast, they would have a priest that would take a silver basin of water, and he would pour water all over the altar. The Feast of Tabernacles was a great feast of celebration. Jesus stood up in a loud voice and said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me to drink." And verse 38, "Whoever believes," which means also abides in me, as the scripture has said, "springs of living water," say springs of living water, "will flow from within me." And some versions say from within your heart. Because that verse there, it means cavity. So springs of living waters will flow from your being or out of your heart. And he said that is the Holy Spirit. Do you see that? The living water is his Holy Spirit. And it's clean and it's pure. And so Jesus said, turn back over to chapter 4. And he said to ask him, in verse 10, he says, ask him for the living water. Again, and verse 13, or verse 14, indeed, the water I give him will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And then if you go down to verse 21, he goes on to tell the woman, believe me, there's a time coming when you will worship the Father neither on the mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But verse 23, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Say, the Father seeks worshipers. Now that word truth is aletheia. Aletheia. So it means sincerity. It could be truth to the Word of God. But that word worship is proskuneos. The Father is seeking those that will love Him from a sincere heart. That will truly love the Lord. Say, the Father is seeking those that will love Him and worship Him from a pure heart. It's a reverence. It's a bowing down. And it says in verse 24, for God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. And the word truth means faithful, sincerity in action, character, and utterance. Proskuneos. And say, Lord, make me to be a worshiper of God. Now, you want to know something that's really interesting? You may have heard this before, but that worship also sounds like war. And so when Moses came down from the mountain with Joshua, the first time that they had the Ten Commandments, they could hear like the sound in the camp. And Joshua said, I hear the sound of war. And Moses said, oh no, they were bowing down in proskuneos type, kissing that calf. And man, that really ticks God off, I'm sure. He was not happy about that. There's some verses where it says that he teaches our hands to war. In worship, our hands can release light. They can release glory. These are weapons. These are weapons. There is a verse that I was reading recently, Habakkuk, and it says that beams, ray beams of light come forth from the Father's hands. And we're made in his image. So how much more so should beams of light come forth from our hands? Let me close with these verses. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 about Jehoshaphat. And do you remember when that huge army was coming to attack Israel? And it was huge. I mean, huge, huge, huge. Like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people versus their little small group. And I don't know if it was like 700,000 or 800,000. Three countries coming together. I mean, they had like three armies coming together to attack them. And this is after Jehoshaphat had gotten rid of all the idols, the high places, had really done a lot of spiritual cleansing. Well, you know, it ticked some spirits off and their principalities and powers, and they were coming to resist the move of God that they just had in their nation because they just had a revival in their nation. So here they're having a little bit of a kickback. And what is interesting is after they sought the Lord with fasting and prayer, putting their trust in the Lord, and the prophet spoke, told them what to do, turn over to verse 21. It says, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And as they began to sing and praise the Lord set up ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. So say, as I begin to sing and praise the Lord, the Lord will cause confusion in the enemy's camp against me and bring me the victory. Amen. I want to close with this last psalm. And it's Psalm 89:15. I always tell Tina that I had gotten this psalm for her. And I just love this psalm. And then being around Tina, she's like such a praiser. You know, and it's very contagious. But I hadn't really been around that before. And I was like, man, I really need to get this down. This praising the Lord. I'm like, wow. Because I know that you can stir that up within you when he says in Psalm 100 that we're to enter his gates with thanksgiving. And I tell the children it's the gates of heaven. When we can enter the gates of heaven with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, the inner courts with praise, that starts getting us into that place. So when I go to start worshiping the Lord, I'll put on worship music sometimes and I'll start praying in tongues. And I know with Pastor Ann, with prayer, that she'll stir herself up. She'll stir herself up, start praying in tongues. I mean, she stirs herself up until she feels a flow in the Holy Spirit, that prophetic flow to pray. And so I just want to encourage you that's the way relationships are. I mean, even with your husband, you wouldn't just, he come home and you just run home and jump into bed. I mean, you have affection, you have relationship, you have courtship. There's that protocol that you have with the king. So we enter his courts with thanksgiving. So you might start every day making a point to start praising the Lord, start thanking the Lord, start stirring up that well, that fountain that's within you, and singing. And then Psalm 89:15 says, blessed are those that have learned how to praise you. They will walk in the light of your presence and your favor. Say, blessed are those who have learned how to praise you, for they shall walk in the light of your presence. Isn't that precious?